Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey, welcome to the Roast Battle Podcast on Comedy Central. I'm here with Coach T.
Hey, what's going on?
Pat Barker.
What's up, guys?
Our guest, Nicole Buchanan.
Yo.
Fresh off her online digital exclusive with Joe Urel back during the TV season. Nick, have things changed since being on, you know, online and dominating a young crippled man?
Nope. Well, I mean, it just released this morning and I was working for my dad at 5 a.m. So, no, nothing has changed. Some guy with cerebral palsy messaged me to thank me.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Does he not like Joe?
No. He just said that he thought that it was great that it kind of like showed them that, like, you know, they're normal and we can make fun of them too and it's fine.
But they're not normal.
At all.
No. Physically,
Christ.
No.
You niggas is curled up.
Here's the thing. None of us are normal. That's why we make fun of it.
Well, most people are walking, though. That's what I mean.
Yeah, most people don't want to kill themselves. Most people, some people aren't black.
Some people aren't black, right?
The holy trinity of fucked up things about people: not being able to walk, being suicidal, and being black. Well, sure.
Wow. Yeah, that was all right.
We're here now.
We're off to a great start.
We're being facetious out here.
Yeah. Social handicap.
I loved your taping experience, and I'm glad I get to give this compliment on publicly because not a lot of people could handle it that way. You were really, really nervous. I talked to you before, but you absolutely executed.
Yeah, I was in fetal position the night before.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I was really nervous. I thought everyone was going to hate me because I was bullying a kid in a wheelchair. And, like, in the belly room, it's fine because everyone knows Joe and everyone, yeah, like, watches Roast Battle and they get it. But I was like, this is a different, like, crowd of people. And then when you put it out to the public, like, that's also a whole different crowd of people. So I didn't know how people would take it or how it would be received. But so far, it's been fine. And I had a lot of fun taping it. It was so much fun. And me and Joe are really good friends.
That's awesome.
It showed you guys, like, were really good friends. And it showed you guys were having a lot of fun, you know?
Yeah, he lives, like, right next to my therapist's office. So I would go over there sometimes and talk to him
instead?
Yeah.
He's a good listener.
He is. He really is.
That's awesome, man. Well, you executed very well, man.
Thank you.
We've seen a lot of people not do so well. So hopefully this gave you a lot of confidence.
Who didn't do well?
And period. Not everyone can handle that level of pressure like that. Most people's first TV experience is not in front of a live, cheering, you know, audience.
Right.
That's pretty intense.
But you know what helped is that I do this show a lot. I've been doing it for a couple of years now, and when I do the show live in the belly room, Moses is hosting, Jeff is judging, you're in the back, and it was just like that.
Familiar.
But bigger. Yeah. It was very familiar. The minute I walk on stage and I saw you and, like, Jeff and everyone, I was like, oh, I know this. I do this. So I think that helped a lot, too. And then, like, the whole day during the taping, my friend Connor McSpadden, who was there writing on it, was there, like, kind of keeping me sane and stuff. So I had a lot of friends there. And that's really cool for your first, like, I guess, TV experience, is just to be doing it with all your friends. And that was really cool and fun and helped me calm my nerves a lot.
Yeah, once the bell dings, you're just doing that thing that you've done 1,000 times.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's like, how can a guy stay cool in the Super Bowl? Because he's been playing football, like, his whole life.
Right.
And he doesn't think about the TV cameras. Like, you might be on the sideline before the game and notice them, but once the battle starts, I mean, that was my experience. Like, you don't even notice the cameras or, you know, any of the crew or anything like that. It's just you and your opponent, and you're telling jokes.
Yeah, and it's so much fun. The show is so much fun. Like, I don't really care. I used to care a little bit about, like, the competition aspect of it, but at the end of the day, it's like, it's a comedy show. We're making people laugh, so I just figure, like, all fun. And once I started doing that, like, that's when I started doing really well, and, like, winning was when I didn't care about winning, and I just started having fun. And yeah, and then Jeff had messaged me, like, the night before, and I told him I was really nervous and that I just wanted to, like, make everyone proud because everyone gave me this opportunity. And he was like, you earned it. You've already made me proud. Like, have fun, and you've already done your dues. And that made me feel a lot better. And just Yeah, I just had a good time and got to make a show with my friends, and it was awesome.
What were you more nervous about? Fucking up, like stumbling on a joke, forgetting a joke, or executing everything and then the online backlash? Like beating up on, you know, a kid in a wheelchair.
Oh, my God. Both. That's all I could talk about before. I was like, I don't want to fuck it up. And then also, I don't want to read the mean comments. Like, because I'm, even though I do a show, I'm very sensitive. And I was like, oh, people are probably going to call me a fat cunt, which is fine on the show.
You have to earn the right to call,
Right, right, right. It has to be consensual,
you have to
right?
be my friend, God damn it. You can't just call me a cunt willy-nilly. But yeah, I don't know. I was very scared of both. And, you know, Joe had the same fears, which is why I kind of like felt bad about one of the jokes I made, because his biggest fear I know is like people not being able to understand him. And I made a joke about the subtitle guy killing himself.
Oh, yeah. So great.
Which I noticed there's no subtitles on the...
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, because he killed himself. Because he killed himself.
That's a great segue
into... Don't the digital battles usually do?
Yeah, they usually do. I know Pat's and Eli's,
Of all the ones that could have used subtitles, the Joe Urell one, you would think that would be the one.
But he's very clear, though.
They were literally like, fuck this. No, yeah, he took his time. I was like, you know what? You'll be fine. Like, just take your time and, like...
Yeah, he had the Britney Spears headset mic.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. We need that in the belly room for him.
Actually.
Speaking of that
battle.
Speaking of that battle, let's actually play a few clips of that, and you guys can see the rest of it online. Comedy Central YouTube channel. But here's a clip between Joe and Nicole Buchanan.
Joe, how do you feel?
Limber. Battlers, who wants to go first?
I'll go.
That's my man. He's a gentleman. Are we ready? Let's roast.
Nicole wanted to go to law school, but she settled for having a face that looks like it was hit with a bar.
Joe, I don't get it. If you don't think I'm hot, why are you drooling? I might be a 6, but Joe's a 3. Like, literally, his body is shaped like the number 3.
Isn't 3 the amount of times you break down crying every day? Nicole's actually very beautiful. She could be an actress in a porno parody of Star Wars.
Joe, I think you have the face of an actor and the body of his really bad stunt double.
Hey, great battle. Great fight. Man, Joe. So let's talk about more belly room stuff. Are you still going to keep battling?
Yeah, I mean, probably not as often as I was, because I've been getting a lot of people offering to book me for stand-up stuff. And I have a bunch of dates in like September and October, and I just kind of want to focus on being able to do that. But of course, I'll come back to it. I love doing it. And it's so much fun. And if there's someone who I think is fun to battle, I'll definitely do. I know me and Pat still need to battle at some point. Robin hit me up and said she'd love to battle me at some point. Would love to do that. Yeah, of course. I would love to come back and battle.
I think you've earned some time off, because this past year was like the year of Nicole Buchanan. It really was. We just had the released the Roasty Awards, which we do every year to honor, you know, the best in the belly room. And Nicole took home Battler of the Year. She took home 3-round Battle of the Year. She took home Rebuttal of the Year. Three of the awards. And Battler of the Year wasn't close. She dominated the voting, which surprised me. I mean, like...
It's like the AVN Awards, I feel like.
Come on. Very much like that. But, like, you...
It's like an award show nobody watches.
I mean, you kind of...
Unless you subscribe.
That's what you're thinking.
You kind of beat the shit out of a lot of people this year.
Hell yeah.
Like, you stepped up to, like, another level. What was that moment?
Where you were champ at one point for, like, a week.
Yeah.
For a week. Because I challenged Jamar Neighbors before I... battled Toby, not thinking I would even beat Toby. And I thought me and Jamar would just have like a fun 5-round battle, because he was like kind of the one and only person that was kind of still on my bucket list of like, I have to battle him because he's like one of my favorite comedians. And yeah, I just knew that it would be so much fun on stage after battling Keith. I knew I just like wanted to battle people that I thought would be super fun to battle. And so, yeah, I challenged him, but then I beat Toby for the championship, I guess, which was hard. He was hard to write for. He's not easy to write for. And I know Jamar had a hard time with it too. He came up to me. He's like, how did you do that? I was like, I don't know, man. But yeah, and then I lost it to Jamar like 3 weeks later because Jamar's insane and I'm ridiculous.
Yeah.
And those were some of the most brutal jokes I've ever heard about me in my life, and I fucking loved it. He's great. Jamar's the best.
Battle of the year.
Was it?
That's the battle of the year.
Cool. I got two nominations for that one.
Yeah, you got 84% of the total vote between those two battles. So I'm saying year of Nicole.
Your battle of the year now? That's the Keith Carey Award.
That's the Keith Carey Award.
I have to rename that thing, the Keith Carey Award.
I know.
I figured it would be the Keith Carey
like
Memorial by now.
Yeah.
What's funny is I feature for him on the road a lot, and I asked him to come feature for me next week, but only because I just like being on the road with Kit. We just like being on the road with each other because we have fun. And yeah, I think he's very funny. And yeah, he's been kind of my mentor, I guess. And so when I like beat him at roast battle and whatever, that was like, it was a really fun time for both.
What was
us,
the moment where you turned that corner? Because you started off and you were good. You had some good fights, some wins, some losses.
There's no corners. He's been hot. He's rookie.
I'm telling you, am I wrong?
Her first battle was amazing.
It was good, but I had like a losing record, I guess. But yeah, most of my battles I think were pretty good, except for maybe I had a battle with Brian Vokey, who's also an amazing battler, and it like wasn't that good of a battle.
Yeah.
I mean, he did good. I didn't. It was like an undercard. It was like my second or third battle. It was like his second or third battle, and so I'd love to rematch him at some point now that we're both like way better at this. But he's one of my like really good friends. I love him. But yeah, I don't know. I think, like I said, it was when I stopped caring about winning and just like having fun. My first win in like the streak of like 8 or 9 battles that I won was Jeff Danis. And I think that gave me a lot of confidence, just because so many people told me he was going to beat my fucking ass. Like,
oh, wow.
Like Tony Hinchcliffe was like, why would he even do that? Like, he's going to like kill you. And like,
I remember that.
So little.
Oh, he was so rude on that one. Because he was.
No,
oh.
He was great. I actually talked to him
Jeff
before.
Was great, yeah.
No, I'm talking about Tony.
Oh, Tony.
Because after you won, he was all like, you know, this is an anomaly.
Yeah, I think he was like, not always the funniest people win these things. And he just like kept going. And I was like, dude, no, but I think he just felt awkward because like Jeff's his friend. And
yeah, he looks up to Jeff.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. He was like, yeah, Jeff
was. I didn't sense no awkwardness.
He was like, Jeff was like my bully
disrespect.
growing up. And I'm just like this chick who's like
that's my perception of you. I perceive like you been an amazing. I don't remember a rough rookie part. I remember when you literally exploded on a roast battle, and then you've always had really, really competitive jokes. There wasn't like the Asian dude Alex and a couple other people, Anna. Like I felt them kind of really, really get better. Sarah Keller, I felt them really, really kind of get better. I always thought that you came in really, really hot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It just clicked, I guess.
you're really good. I guess that's what
Thank
I'm trying
you.
To
say. Like, I don't know what you want me to say.
Yeah,
like,
practice
yeah,
makes perfect.
Amazing.
Yeah, just like, yeah, I guess, yeah, just it's almost like game film. It's like, oh, every game you get more experience, and you're always going to get better for every
it's
game.
It's joke writing.
Speaking of your battles, we got to get into your battle with Jamar Neighbors. Mm-hmm. Now, Jamar has a way of telling jokes that makes me act like I feel he's so aggressive with it. Like, it's weird because I feel the love and respect. But that shit was, he was rough on you. And
he was, but it didn't feel mean because it's Jamar. Like he's such a nice, he is a really loving, nice guy. And so he could basically say the roughest shit and you don't feel like
No, it's almost like it's almost like that dude is like a professional basketball player, then like a bunch of like, you know, girls who play in like junior high come out, but he's still playing like an NBA player.
Yeah, exactly.
Just not going easy on anybody. Like, get that shit out of here. Like, I'm 12.
Exactly.
But I was honored by that. Like, yeah. I love that because, like I said, he's like one of my favorite people to watch on stage, whether it's stand up or roast battle or whatever. And so the fact that he took the time to write jokes about me,
and boy did he,
right? And the fact that he didn't take it easy, because he told me before, like I talked to him like a week before, I challenged him and he never responded, and then he like accepted my challenge on stage at one point. Like, he came up after a battle and accepted my challenge on stage, and then he came up to me and he was like, I didn't know if I was gonna do this because I've never battled a girl before, and but you dope, so I'll do it. And I was like, okay. And then the week before, I was like, you ready to say some mean shit about me? He's like, man, no, you're a girl and I don't want it. I'm like, come on, Jamar. Like,
oh yeah,
she got over that real quick.
Oh my god,
seen him versus Yamanika. You
know, that was not the
Yamanika
vibe.
Yamanika too, but you know how I knew he was full of shit? Was right before that, I listened to his battle with Pat. Yeah. And like one of his jokes was straight up just against your wife.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The setup to the joke was, I met Pat's fat wife at Jeff Ross's party.
Yeah.
He corrected himself too. He was like, I met Pat's fat wife.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah, that man. Yeah, he doesn't.
Shout out to my wife. I love you, baby.
He doesn't go. Yeah, he doesn't go to a knife fight with knives. He goes with AKs and 45s.
All right, yes. So round one, Nicole versus Jamar.
First round's tit for tat. Three jokes. Who wants to go first? Ladies first. Are we ready? It's the last battle of the night. This is it. This is all we got. Nicole, Jamar, let's roll.
Jamar was in an orphanage called 5 Acres, so we shorted him 35 acres and a mom.
That bitch, he dug deep.
Don't call me ugly and fat and shit.
Nicole has a good boyfriend. After he's done doing heroin, he lets her lick the spoon.
Jamar's the kind of guy that would invite you to fuck him on his tour bus, which is actually just the LA City bus.
Nicole's 37 years old. Nah, I'm kidding. Y'all believe me though, didn't you?
Really dumb, but he's not slow. His brain's just on colored people time.
Nicole is so desperate, she saw me rape a bitch and was like, ooh, me too, me too, me too.
It's a different era for that joke.
Yo, that's the bravest joke I've ever heard in this room. Hey, keep it going. Jamar, Nicole, Nicole, and Jamar. Holy sh!
Hey, that was round one of you and Jamar. None of that shit hurt?
No.
That's interesting, because you said before your TV battle you were concerned about what other people had to say to you that you've never met, but then Jamar says what he says with the energy that he says, and it just bounces off of you?
Because he's Jamar. Like, me and Jamar are cool, and he came up to me after. he came up to me like he came up to me after and like we're really cool. He's a friend and then he came up to me later and he was like, I want you to know, don't listen to my roast jokes. I know people say your face is whatever, but like I think it's pretty.
How would you describe your face?
Unique.
Oh,
you sound like a first grade teacher. That's what they said about my writing. They're like, oh, your writing's very unique.
Yeah,
it's really sloppy.
There's a place for it somewhere.
Yeah, that's what that kind of sounds like.
What would you cast you for?
I don't know, some quirky, likable girl who gets the hot guy because she's got a great personality.
All right.
So now
you can understand what she looks
classic.
Like, everybody.
I'm not quite sure what that role is. Did you have any examples of that in film that we've maybe seen?
Dude, I don't know. A lot of people tell me like Juno. They see me as
Juno Hill.
Like a Juno type.
Juno type.
Like a Juno type character.
You're so much more bearable than Juno.
Oh, thank you.
The dialogue in Juno, I fucking hate that. Shout out to Jason Reitman.
Wow.
I love you, Jason Reitman.
Now I'm going to have to edit that.
Fine, edit it.
Why would you say something like that?
What the fuck is that?
Didn't like it.
That's a valuable unexpressed thought.
Didn't like it. No, he's just... Here's what it is. Pat's just mad because there's a teenager who got pregnant the first time.
Oh, fuck. Man.
It's getting uncomfortable in here.
Yeah.
I'm not jumping in any of this.
He took down meal ticket. I didn't take him
Moses,
down, too.
Moses, let it breathe. Let it breathe. You just... What the
get
fuck?
Him, come on.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to say...
my wife could have used some of that Juno fertility. That would have been fantastic.
We could all use the fertility of a 16-year-old girl.
But then we wouldn't have all these great roast jokes that people
Oh, my God. People love them, by the way.
Yeah.
Everybody loves them.
I'm going to make a top 1,000 list of all the miscarriage jokes.
At least the top five.
Jesus, Moses.
Well, that leads to an interesting thing. Has any joke used against you ever hurt you?
Sure. No. Yeah, I feel like in the beginning, they definitely hurt. Now that I've been doing it this long and like... I just kind of see how good it doesn't really hurt me anymore. But in the beginning, no matter like how dark the jokes were, whether there were jokes about like whatever my suicide attempt or like I don't know, my heartbreak or anything like that, the ones that always got to me were the ones about my looks. And like, I hated that. About
Which one hit the hardest?
What?
Which one hit the hardest?
Which like joke about my looks hit the hardest?
What joke kept you up at night when you thought about it?
You know what? It wasn't even... we've talked about this before on the Verbal Violence podcast.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
All right.
That it wasn't even a joke.
Is
like
a coma?
A battler made. It was like a judge going after me real hard on my left.
Oh, Nick Youssef.
I remember that.
Oh.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah. That one hurt a little bit?
A little bit.
Describe... Like, that was just in your head a lot after the battle, or...?
A lot, yeah. I think it was just that, like... I don't know. He just kept going. He didn't stop until it like got uncomfortable. And then also I was like, you know, standing on stage next to someone who dumped me, and like I felt all like empowered.
Oh, that was the Dan Nolan battle too. Yeah.
I felt all like empowered because I had like beaten him, and I was like, and
he
then
took
this,
it right back.
And then this guy just like shits on me, and like tells me I'm ugly and fat, and I was like, all right, well,
hey, come on, you're not fat.
That sounds. That sounds a little more like a Dan Nolan thing than a Nick Youssef thing. So it sounds like maybe if Dan wasn't there, maybe that shit bounces off.
I feel like Coach is about to open a can of worms right now.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. Because you said it was the dude who dumped you. I'm just saying, did that play the role?
No, I'm saying like it was just, it was a very like empowering moment for me. And then he just like ripped it away and it like, it hurt.
Yeah. Tell you what, keep the lid on that can of worms for a second. We're gonna play round two of Jamar versus Nicole, and we'll come right back.
I love this one.
Let's go! Round two! Let's rush.
Yeah! Nicole took a 23andMe test. Turns out she's 2% European and 98% trash bag juice. I wouldn't stick my finger in that pussy if it had the keys to my little brother's jail cell in that motherfucker. Bitch. Bitch, you look like a Grand Theft Auto hooker. Oh,
molested as a kid, so I think it's safe to say the third grade was the hardest 4 years of his life. Look, I'm not saying Jamar was destined to be a comic, but at the early age of six, someone def jammed a dick in his mouth. Jamar got molested, but in that guy's defense, with that gap in your teeth, your mouth does look like a glory hole.
God damn. Oh man. So you got glory hole mouth. Fuck.
Hey, whatever, nigga. I'm out of here, bro.
You really are. You really, really are out of here. Woo! Hey, wow, that was a good round. You won that round.
Yeah.
Molestation.
People hate it online.
Yeah.
But they don't mind you making fun of a person with cerebral palsy.
Nope.
People have weird lines, I've found out.
The thing is... Yeah.
I understood that. I never thought that was even a bad look.
Well, with Jamar, he started a joke in round one with, I was raping a bitch, so...
Oh, my God. So that's one of my favorite jokes ever, by the way.
That's my nigga.
I think people are cool with me coming back. But
I think it's very hard to be upset at you under any circumstance. Mm. You can go against a crippled guy. It's just hard to be. You're never going to be evil. You don't have it in you.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, but Jamar, I don't think you can do anything, and we're always mad at him. Well,
I think Jamar is so likable.
He can get away with whatever.
Okay. You can watch him do some stand-up.
Told me that, like, when I started, people told me, like, that I had the kind of similar thing that he had where I could get away with a lot.
I think Jamar gets away with a lot because he's brilliant, and if you are a fan of comedy and you have a relationship with him, you respect his brilliance. But I've seen Jamar push a lot of people away, like a lot with his material. It really makes people uncomfortable. And it's like, I think he delivers it in a great way, but some of that subject matter really kind of turns him off.
Polarizing is polarizing. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, likability can't, I can't really mask that. But you can get away with a lot by being likable is what we're saying.
I think you're likable. So when you're like, oh, I'm worried about people going to say me, I'm like, I don't think they're going to say anything. How can you be mad at you?
And one of the first people I went on the road with was Ty Rivera. And that was one of the biggest pieces of advice he gave me. He was like, you're so likable, you don't even know what you can get away with yet.
Right.
He was like, you need to explore that more. And I think that roast battle has helped me with that. Be able to be a little more like, be able to explore what I can get away with on stage and stuff.
Yeah,
like
you get away with a lot.
Roast battles helped you with a lot. I feel like as a person, like emotionally, you've alluded to some of that. Like
confidence.
How has this changed your life?
I've gained a lot of confidence from it, which is weird from a show that shits on you so much. But I think it's like a real confidence to where I'm not sitting in the mirror saying I'm beautiful every day. You know, I'm sitting in the mirror saying, yeah, my face looks like this, and people make fun of it, but like, you know, I'm funny and I make people laugh, and like there's something beautiful about that, and that's like real confidence, is being like, yeah, I'm accepting my flaws and like just being out there with it. And so I think it's given me like an actual real confidence rather than like that affirmation in the mirror I'm beautiful shit.
That's a hell of a soundbite.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
But it's been really good for me, and it's shown me a lot of like what I can do, and just the energy in that room and feeling people like really enjoying what you're doing is it's awesome, and it's done a lot for me for sure. It's put me on Comedy Central for the first time.
There you go.
Well, let's wrap up the Nicole versus Jamar Battle of the Year 2018.
Yeah. All right. This is it. Last round. Jamar is the champ. Let's roast.
Yeah. Yeah. Nicole wants to be the best female working comic today. She's off to a good start. She already has Tig Notaro's titties. Nigga, that shit look like a trap house mattress.
is. Yeah, Jamar is from the hood, but he's such a bitch, he couldn't get jumped into Cool in the Gang.
Nicole's from Huntington Beach, or at least that's the shore that she washed up on.
Whatever, Jamar. Somehow you're so hot and so ugly at the same time. You're like... You're like Idris Elba if his face was as weird as his name.
Nicole, you're fat, white, and insecure. Shut up before I make you suck my dick like I just know I can.
Whoa.
That's right. Bring that Gerard joke out, bitch.
I don't have a Gerard joke. All right. Jamar's head is so shiny, his mom tried to pawn it for crack.
All right, keep it going for the Rose Battle we just saw. Woo! That's Jamar. And that was Nicole. Damn. I mean, Jamar is a Me Too. Holy shit. Just is one. I mean, yeah, it is a title match. I think we got to do it. I think we got overtime. I think it's a joke off. They're still here, Jeff. They've been here since fucking 10 o'clock. Do you want more? Like three people said, yeah. A few said yes. All right, we're doing it. All right. Are we ready? Overtime. Let's roast.
Look, Jamar has this reputation as this, like, retarded genius, but I don't buy it. You know, you're not an oxymoron. You're just a regular moron.
I thought ugly bitches was supposed to be the funny ones. Nicole looked like whether you put it in her ass, mouth, or pussy, you leaving the crib with doo-doo on your dick.
Yeah! Be careful. Be careful. The best part of that was seeing Tony Hinchcliffe's mom give it a standing ovation. Doo-doo on the dick, you clapped at that joy? You're a mom.
Tony!
Nick, plug anything.
Twitter, at Nicole Becannon, NicoleBecannon, and Instagram, at Nicole_Becannon.
Thank you for doing this, man. Thank you for hanging out with us.
Thank you for having me.
We love your roast battling. Keep roast battling.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
Got to do it, man, everywhere. Oh, and leave reviews. It's really big.
Hi, I'm Anthony Jeselnik, a famous, handsome comedian.
And I'm Greg Rosenthal, from the NFL Network.
And we are pleased to announce our new podcast, the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project, where we talk about sports off-the-field issues, and they are legion.
Two friends, I would even say, go as far to say best friends, in vastly different fields of work. I work in football. What do you do?
What about Keep It Short is so foreign to you? Yeah. All you had to say was subscribe and coming soon. Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
Subscribe. Do it.
It's a good show.